Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so we're learning this morning about, we've had authorities, you know, tell us, oh, Antifa, no, that's just an online conspiracy theory. That's just, you know, left-wing activists were not involved in storming the Capitol. I can't believe that Fox News actually reported this, but they did. They challenged this. You know the guy... black guy who filmed the death of the 35-year-old woman?
I have seen the video. I did not know who was responsible for that video.
He has been arrested before. He's got an arrest record. He's a Black Lives Matter protester who's, you know, vowed to go to the White House and remove Trump. And he's been arrested multiple times in Utah for violent threats, organizing violence, violent insurrection. So this is a guy who's definitely got a record of violence. He's a left-wing protester.
Doesn't sound like somebody that was hanging out with the president with a MAGA hat on, does it?
Well, about that. So the story came out, the media covered for him. No. He films, he goes to MAGA rallies. His films what's going on there, you see. So he wants to document the white supremacy and all that, right? But he wasn't involved in, you know, storming the Capitol. He was just there documenting. Well... he was just there. Wouldn't that be trespassing? Isn't that illegal?
Yeah,
but it's okay. It's okay. It's Black Lives Matter. It's good. Whatever they do is fine. Doesn't matter if they break the law. Okay. Well, we understand that is the standard there. If you follow them in and you trespass yourself, then that's okay. If you're just documenting them, it's good. You can stay, right? Well, it turns out he wasn't just documenting them. He was one of those in the front column screaming at everybody to invade the building. We got audio now. I'm telling you, folks, there's something wrong here, especially with authorities telling us, oh, no, there we know him. No, that left-wing activist, no way. And meanwhile, you know, we're watching it online because there's a lot of clips from a lot of people, more than they can scrub because there were a lot of people there. And so you're watching these things that they're telling you didn't happen, but they're right there on the video, like John Sullivan, violent Antifa activist with an arrest history, screaming at everybody, pretending to be a MAGA supporter and trying to rile the crowd into the building.
To date, authorities have said they have no indication of Antifa involvement. But yesterday, one has been linked to left-wing activism. According to the complaint, this man here, John Sullivan, who claims to document protests for a living on social media under a pseudonym Jaden X, is heard here in his own video encouraging people to storm the Capitol. Listen.
We gotta burn the... Oh, my God, we did... We took this...
In the video, he's with other guys in MAGA hats and patriotic gear, egging the crowd on. Part of the front column. I just want answers here. I want to know who did what. For once in America, I'd just like to get a straight story. Mm-hmm. Probably won't, but that's the deal. So I just want to know, I mean, we got a Black Lives Matter activist participating in this. Is there going to be, I mean, if everybody's horrified by the insurrection, we're going to have any condemnation here by the left or any sort of bipartisan statement or no? We're good? Okay.
Yeah, where's Jim Clyburn?
There's more video, too, of him in there screaming and yelling, we did it, we took the building, we did it, yay, y'all did great. There is a great article I've posted right now that I would encourage everyone to read. I put it up on Facebook. It's a former congressional staffer who was there. He did not go into the Capitol building, but he watched it. And his description of what happened is very different from the one that you see, in the mainstream media. And if you've watched this, Lee, there's something very interesting about the video. I told you the story of you know, my husband waking me up. I go to bed early, right? It's still light out most of the time because I get up so early. And my husband, like, shaking me awake and going, you got to see this. And we known that the Capitol was breached when I went to bed, but we did not know the extent of it or what happened. So they were showing the video from inside, right? And you know, you wake up, you were like, you know, I'm in deep sleep. I was like, And so I'm not fully processing what I, you know, what he's trying to tell me. He's like, watch, watch, watch. And I'm watching the guys in the front column, right? The aggressive ones. And I'm like, what? Wait, why was Antifa in the Capitol building? That was my first impression, that that was who they were, the way they were dressed, the masks on their face. They didn't look like us. They were aggressive, right?
You know what they say about first impressions.
I know. And he's like, no, that's, my husband's like, no, that's us. I'm like, that was like Antifa. And you look at, there's two sets of videos. And if you watch Fox News on a loop, which I do because it's just on in here, you watch Fox News on a loop, you'll notice something. There's two sets of videos. There is the sort of, violent, but pushy confrontation in the beginning by the people in the front column. They're young. They look like they work as baristas at Starbucks. They're fit and they're almost military style. They're pushing in hard, right? And the police are pushing back and it's wild. And the police are, you know, running in some cases from them, you know, like they're being threatened. And in other cases, they're just pushing back. It's violent. There's a second set of videos and they run on a loop on Fox too. These are the most bizarre videos. And I still cannot understand them. I am still trying to, and I've not seen a real good effort to understand them. And what these videos are, you've seen them if you watch television, are Trump supporters inside the Capitol building. They're milling around very peacefully. Nobody's pushing, nobody's shouting, nobody's angry. And in the crowd, they're mingling with the police. The police are in the crowd. They're standing around. They're kind of just talking and whatever. The police are not trying to push them out. They're not, you know, laying down or claiming the territory. It's almost as if they don't know they can't be there. It's odd. And you'll see the police are talking. So the police are just walking around through the crowd. They're talking to members of the crowd. There's no pushback. There's no leave. There's nothing like the violent confrontation by the front column in there. And then if you read the piece from the Federalist, it is fascinating. Because there's a violent front column of young, fit men who push their way in. The police begin firing the tear gas, right? And all of a sudden, the tear gas in the crowd. The crowd is confused. The crowd is not angry. The crowd is not pushing. The crowd is not violent. They're confused as to why they've just been tear gassed because they're not trying to go anywhere. There are guys with bullhorns in the back of the crowd. And keep in mind at this point, people are coming in from, they're coming in early from Trump's speech, right? And they're just getting there, right? And others just arriving, period, okay? And the breach has already happened. And because of the columns of people arriving, you can't retreat. It's literally like cattle down a chute. And there are guys in the back with bullhorns who are dressed in black screaming at them to press forward, you are not allowed to turn around, you cannot turn around, you've got to move forward, you cannot retreat. And so he was talking about what was going on, that this is causing tremendous confusion in the crowd. The crowd was not angry, they were not vindictive, that people in the crowd, to the extent that they were milling about and moving, they were trying to help elderly people who were getting pressed by all of this. The guys shoving the crowd forward in the back, and they were trying to get elderly people chairs. They were trying to cut, you know, places to move people who were, you know, older or infirm or whatever out, because you couldn't get out because of the guys in the back smashing the crowd forward. And they're kind of backed up by other people who are just sort of walking up at that point, who are, you know, sort of transitioning or you know, showing up at the scene, and you're crushed in the middle. And so there's two separate groups here. And I just want to understand, look, there were Trump supporters all in that building. We've seen two cops now who are either fired or under investigation. They were Trump supporters. They were there. They were inside the building. I get it. Trump supporters went in there. They should not have. But I want to understand how this happened. And I just encourage you to read the Federalist article that describes it, just in a pretty factual way. It's not real opinion oriented. Something's wrong here. And now we're catching Black Lives Matter activists with a history of arrest for violence inside the crowd. Two places. He's outside and he's egging the crowd in. And then he's inside screaming, we took it, we took it. What? No, there's no we here. And then he's claiming, oh, I'm just there filming. Well, that's not what happened. And I really think, Lee, our side going forward is going, I mean, we're going to have to really rethink any appearance in public for protest.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Because it's too easy to put a flag shirt on and a Trump hat on backwards and go out there and do something crazy and we get blamed for it.
Yeah.
I really hope if you're in this audience today, my advice to you would be, you know, inauguration, stay away from the Capitol. It ain't worth it. They're obviously planning something on it. There's obviously planning something. Like, I would be afraid to even, you know, pull up and park outside the perimeter and leave my legal permit in my car, my legally permitted gun in my car. I mean, like, I would be afraid to do any of that. I just, please stay away from the Capitol. Something's up. Something stinks. You and we, please, we do not need to be a part of this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Texter writes, Tara, we were set up. The first time I saw the clips, I knew they were Antifa. Look, folks still breached that building. That's illegal. That's on them. And we condemn that. You can't do it. But I think a lot of questions need to be asked about how we ended up here. And I'm not the only one asking them. In fact, the only reason you're allowed to ask questions about what happened on the Hill is that Democrats are asking them. It's kind of this odd thing going on where Democrats are seeing the same videos that we're seeing online that don't make any sense. And it's been going on all week, and it's been fascinating if you're following it. And they're watching Capitol police officers taking down barriers to let people in. They're watching Capitol police officers, two of them who've been suspended, taking selfies with the crowd. They're watching other Capitol police officers who didn't take selfies with the crowd for kind of friendly milling around within the crowd. Yeah, and the crowd's not violent. Crowd's not angry. Crowd's not yelling. They're standing in the Capitol building where they shouldn't be. But no one's telling them to leave. If you watch Fox News, if you sit and watch it on a loop, you'll see the video. They play it every day now. They've got this loop that they play. I don't know. Maybe they won't. For my luck, they won't play it today. But I've been sitting here for hours watching, and I am in an absolute bafflement. And you'll see them, and there's a sea of faces. They're very peaceful. They're kind of standing around. One guy's drinking coffee. They're inside the Capitol building, and the officers are in the crowd. You can see them with their uniform. They're just in the crowd, and they're not telling anyone to leave. They're just kind of standing around. Nobody's occupying anything. Now we're learning there's guys with the bullhorns in the back of the crowd telling everyone to move forward. I wonder how many people, I'm not talking about that first sort of more violent column that went through. You've seen that video too. That clearly that was an invasion. No question. That was an invasion. And some of them, you know, when we're still getting the IDs, these people, some people were Trump supporters. That were in that column. But we now know there's at least one guy who bragged online, John Sullivan, there's more audio out there, that he dressed up like a Trump supporter and got him to invade the Capitol. So it makes me wonder if the officers are milling in the crowd, there's a guy on a bullhorn in the back pushing them forward. How many of these people didn't know they couldn't go in the building? Again, I'm not talking about the front column. That obviously was a break-in. I'm talking about the crowd that funneled in and stood around talking for a while. I just have so many questions about this. I'm not the only one. John Solomon, I want to play this for you in this particular hour so you could hear John Solomon, investigative reporter, one of the few people who, true mainstream media people, he worked for The Hill, got the Russia story right. There aren't many in the media. He also got the Hunter Biden story correct when the rest of the media was telling you it was Russian disinformation. So he's one of those, when he says something, I take it to the bank. Because he's got good credit with me, unlike most of the media, where when they tell you something, I'm like, I bet that's not true. Just given their track record, it's abysmal. They've gotten every major story the last 4 years that was political flat wrong. Here's John Solomon.
One of the reasons why lawmakers are so concerned that this was sort of a drive-by impeachment, a one-day, couple hours, and impeach the president, there is some significant evidence beginning to emerge of three things. One, that the Capitol Police, the NYPD, the FBI, all had prior warning that there was going to be an attack on the Capitol. They knew some of the people. It was serious enough to warn the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Now, that has several repercussions. One is, how did the leaders of Congress react to this intel? Did it get to them? Did Nancy Pelosi know? Secondly, if this was a planned attack, you can't be the president of the United States being accused of inciting a spontaneous attack when it was planned days before.
Right.
And so I think both from an impeachment perspective and from a factual security perspective, we're learning things, and we shouldn't be in the posture of making final assignments of blame until we know what the facts are.
Again, if you take nothing away from the impeachment this week, understand the impeachment was based on the idea that Trump whipped the crowd up to the point that they were violent, and then they went running on a rampage into the Capitol. If this was pre-planned, that is not possible.
Another thing that we're hearing, and Congressman Clyburn of South Carolina, one of the most respected Democrats in the House, first raised this. I'm hearing there's significant evidence of this. Part of this planning, this prior plan, was helping people on the inside, helping them to learn the Capitol, to have maps of the Capitol, to know how to get around in the Capitol. This was a planned attack, if this information bears out, as what the federal law enforcement is saying. The FBI is saying this now. The U.S. attorney in Washington says he's bringing a conspiracy case. As you know, you can only bring a conspiracy case if there was planning. You can't have a conspiracy in a spontaneous moment. So these are really big revelations. And I think this story, the Capitol siege story, will go the route of some things we've heard in the past. We once before were sold a story that there was a spontaneous attack. It occurred in Benghazi. Susan Rice, about to go back into the Joe Biden administration, told us it was a spontaneous attack spurred by an anti-Muslim video.
Right.
It was a terror attack carried out by an Al-Qaeda affiliate, planned weeks in advance. That was a final intelligence assessment. The Russia story. Told there was collusion. Then we found out everybody knew there was no collusion and it was a bogus thing, but they went with it anyways. I think this story has the potential to boomerang around in a very different ending than what the American people were presented today.
Going to be an interesting year, folks. A very interesting year. How absurd is this getting? You see this? The head of Radio Canada, like their public Canadian broadcast, has had to apologize. Well, what did he do? He went to his condo in Miami. Yeah, and then what? That's it. Wait. He snuck off to Miami? To stay in his condo. Yes. From December 2nd to December 27th. He spent 2 weeks there. This is a national scandal in Canada. Well, did he do anything wrong while he was there? Say anything wrong? No. Well, what's the problem? Well, Canadians were strongly advised to avoid staying abroad. Oh, well, were they banned from staying abroad? I mean, did he sneak out and violate a law? No. This is ridiculous. I understand the reaction to my trip, he said in a statement. I am sincerely sorry and I apologize to employees and said, why? This is just the absurdity we live with. Oh, did you see Matthew McConaughey? He's in trouble. Oh, is he in trouble? Yeah, the Daily Beast is after him. Because he criticized cancel culture. Which the Daily Beast, by the way, said doesn't exist. While arguing he should be canceled. You cannot add. You can't make this up. You cannot make this up. The piece is basically cancel culture doesn't exist, but let's cancel Matthew McConaughey just in case. Well, my Lord, what did he do? Oh, wait, did you see what he tweeted? You didn't notice it? No, because it wasn't very controversial. Do you know what he said? Yeah, on Twitter. He argued we should come together because you can't erase someone's entire existence. It's wrong. So you mean like unity, right? Wouldn't that be like unity? Yeah. You know what the Democrats claim they want? Unity. Except they think it's only for people who agree with them, though. Quote, here's what he said, okay? He's in big trouble right now. We're making people persona non grata because of something they do that is right now deemed wrong or it's a hot point and a hot topic right now. You can't erase someone's entire existence. Where the heck does some forgiveness go? So what else did he say? That's it. He did this on the Joe Rogan show. I think, okay, what else did he do? That's it? That's all he did? The Daily Beast just blasted him for flirting with the alt-right. You're like, wait a minute, Joe Rogan. Yeah, he's the famous podcaster, right? What? You did? He's all white? Because you know, alt-right, that's like white supremacists to the left. I mean, that's who they are, right? Joe Rogan is the alt-right now? Do you know who Joe Rogan endorsed for president? Do you have any idea? Bernie Sanders. He ultimately, I think, voted for the Joe Jorgensen Libertarian, he said. And what Rogan does on his, he does interviews on his podcast. All he does is interviews. And he is hated by the left because he has everybody on. What else did he do? That's it. Left wingers, right wingers, everybody. So what else did he do? That's it. The Daily Beast has run a hit piece. Matthew McConaughey is flirting with alt-right darlings. I'm sorry, Bernie. Somebody who endorses Bernie Sanders for president is not alt-right. They're not even right. They're mad at him for also doing an interview with clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson out of Canada, who is the most milquetoast guy you ever want to hear. He's a very deep intellectual thinker, but he is absolutely not alt-right. I don't know that I would even call him right. That's a stretch. So because the professor Peterson out of Canada actively, this is the argument in the article, actively rejects identity politics, including white identity politics. He says, look, we got to judge people by the content of their character. You know, like that radical alt-right dude, Martin Luther King Jr.? Well, I mean, by this standard, y'all, by this standard, MLK is alt-right. This is insane. So McConaughey is being compared to white supremacist leader Richard Spencer, who, by the way, is a Democrat, or was. Now he's kind of just out there. He believes in socialism. So white supremacy is bad. Obviously, we condemn that. But socialism, that's not a right-winger. So there, the hit on McConaughey and the destruction of his career has begun. And again, the piece is basically cancel culture doesn't exist, but let's cancel Matthew McConaughey just in case. I mean, did you realize where this has moved the ball on the ideological spectrum? I was so confused when I first had glances. I'm like, all right, figure who? Joe Rogan? Really? Joe Rogan. Okay. And so now, if you are a prominent person, you're in Hollywood, if you suggest, hey, we should have a little more tolerance for alternate viewpoints. Come on, man. Let's just look. We can't be canceling people. You will be canceled. Headline on the piece is Matthew McConaughey keeps flirting with alt-right darlings. People online are blaming, I kid you not, blaming Matthew McConaughey. You should see the tweets for the Capitol riots. So if you go, okay, let me attempt to comprehend this. If you go on Joe Rogan, you're a violent alt-right supporter? Good Lord. You know what he really did? He criticized cancel culture and called it by name. said we need to forgive people. We need to come together. You know, like what Joe Biden says, but doesn't mean. So that, just so you know what the new standard is as you're waking up this morning. If you criticize cancel culture, they will attempt to cancel you. And you become alt-right, which is synonymous with racism. We're losing our minds. This is where we are. We are absolutely losing it. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, I think the right would sooner claim Dr. King than Joe Rogan. I know! Texter writes, don't laugh at the frozen Canadians. Another texter writes, Microsoft is hoping to create a COVID-19 vaccination passport. Oh, it's going to get wild this year, folks. Well, we'll soon find out the fate of Parler before a judge. You know, they always fix these things. They always get you before a liberal judge, so I don't have a lot of hope. I'm almost amazed they can do that, but we can't seem to. And I've told you that if Parler can't come back, free speech is done in this country. Because it's going to be used as the model not just to suppress free speech and social media companies, but all companies. If the vendors that you need to stay up online, to have a website online, to do your business, if nobody will do business with you, even if you want to buy their products to make your business run, well, that model can quickly be extrapolated to all businesses. You must toe the party line or you're done. I can't tell you how serious this is, and I think a lot of people still don't get it. I'm still getting texts. Well, I'm not on social media, so I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not just about free speech. It's much bigger than that. We've been talking about this on the Battleground podcast. You could text Battleground to 71307. This will become a tactic. Businesses will use it against their competition. Businesses that don't even care about politics one way or the other. They just want to make money. Look at our competition. They didn't write a check to Black Lives Matter. They must be racist. Oh, look, they don't have the Black Lives Matter badge or whatever hot thing it is at the moment with the left on their website. Are they racist? And then you wake up and by noon, you don't have any more vendors and you can't run your business. And you can't come back either because you've been canceled. This is where we're headed. But we have to. The left tells us we have to, the liberal media tells us, because violence. We cannot allow violence to be advocated for, normalized. And Parler doesn't police violence enough, they say. Now, when they say that, what they mean is Parler isn't kicking off conservatives in concert with Twitter and Facebook. They don't mean actual violence. How do I know that? New York Post, folks, literally as Amazon, Apple, Google, and Twitter are justifying shutting Parler down because it allegedly calls for violence. The hashtag Kill Trump is still allowed and widely used on Twitter. Put it in. I just did. Oh, my Lord. Another one, hashtag arrest Trump. In June, the hashtag assassinate Trump actually trended on Twitter. It was hot. It's hip. Bouncing around on Twitter. This is New York Post documenting this. They got the pictures. Hashtag assassinate Trump. With tweets that say things like, someone take this clown out. Now, they're still up. Since June. So let's all be clear about what we're talking about here. We're not talking about violence being bad. The left doesn't believe that. Neither does Twitter. Clearly, I'm looking at the evidence right now. Violence is actually hip. It's hot. It's cool. As long as it's directed toward the right people. We documented this yesterday. With CNN, Don Lemon coming out, shockingly, on the day of the impeachment, for incitement to violence, justifying and lauding left-wing violence is justified. It's the two sides of the coin. Protect left-wing violence, laud it, push it, justify it. While arguing that those on the other side should not even be allowed to appear in public because they might become violent. This gem's still up. Ayatollah Khamenei vowing not just death to America, but death to American politicians. Which apparently is cool. Tip, it's hot. It's great. We just need to kill American politicians. That's great. That's up on Twitter. Never lost his account. There's another Twitter account that calls itself Pigs in a Blanket, Fry 'em Like Bacon. A call to kill police that's found in a myriad of tweets. That's hot too on Twitter. So apparently it's not that violence is wrong. It's just that we need to make sure we're killing, harming, and maiming the right people. Folks, this is the obstacle to peace in our country. Again, we must have condemnation of all violence by all sides. We must have that. In other words, what we do on the show every day. And this, no, this is not whataboutism, as Don Lemon said. This is a problem. You cannot tell people they cannot speak out because they're conservative. People who have never called for violence and take their accounts and silence them while the other side, they're watching them hashtag assassinate Trump. And everyone's like, ah, that was cool. It's amazing. All right, Chuck in Spartanburg, can you do it quickly?
Yes, I can. I just wanted to say I blame the Republicans for all this, going back decades and decades, because we've stood back and let them get away with whatever they want to do. I mean, I could name a whole bunch of stuff. I think everybody that knows it that keeps up with this. But now we're at where we're at because of that. That was just what I wanted to call and say.
Yes, and you know what, Chuck? We're still there. I mean, I am still waiting to find out what would be so outrageous by the left that the Republican leadership would actually condemn it. So here's what we know. Chiron from Fox News yesterday, 30 people, they say at least 30 people killed in the left-wing violence this year. $1 billion to $2 billion worth of damage and 2,037 officers injured. The source of that is the Major Cities Chiefs Association. And that's just May 25th through July 31st. That was not just cool with Democrat leaders. It was cool with GOP leaders either, too. I mean, people like Ted Cruz did it, but they're not in leadership. They criticized it. So far we know a death toll of at least 30 is A-OK thumbs up cool with the GOP leadership. You can't just blame the Democrats. You're right, Chuck. So we don't know what the limit is. Maybe we'll find out this year.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.